Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Hello, and a good morning to everyone under the sound of my voice. So glad that you've tuned in. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson, and I'm so glad that you have chosen to hear the word of God today. You are His beloved, and I hope you've invited family and friends to join you. It's no mistake that you're listening. It's a divine appointment. Life can get a little tough sometimes, but God always, always makes a way of escape. His joy and His glory comes in the morning, fresh and new, every morning. He has the best for the best. You're His beloved. Let the game begin. God wants you to know this morning that you're a winner and you are not a loser. With that said, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning thanking you for this beautiful day, this beautiful morning, and thanking you for your glory that's fresh and anew on every single person. God, I just give you the glory and the honor for what you're going to do this morning. Thank you for saving the lost. Thank you for drawing in those who are cardinal, those who have been playing church. Lord, open their ears. Open the lost ears. Prepare their hearts to receive the truth and nothing but the truth, oh God. For God, I know that you said you care about the one out of the 99, that you go after them, that you want none to perish. That is what this message is about today. It's staying in the game and running the race to win, because you have created winners and not losers. Thank you, Father, for your words of wisdom in this message today that is going to lead us to our eternal destiny one day, and we will stand before you, faithful servants of God that have run the race, have fought the faith, have finished it, and are standing before you. And you are welcoming us in to heaven. One day that will happen. One day it will happen, my friends. In the name of Jesus, we will stand before God. And you want to hear those words, "Well done, faithful servant, come on in." You don't want to hear the words, "I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." My prayer this morning is that you will open up your ears and you will allow God to write His truth on your heart this morning, that you can stay in the game, that you truly are a winner, and you're not a loser. God doesn't create junk. He made us more than conquerors. He made us more than we are the head, and we are not the tail. Believe it. I just pray that you do believe it this morning. And I pray for those out there that are sick in body, mind, and spirit. Father, I ask you to touch their bodies and heal them. Whatever their needs are, supply them, Father. Father, I ask you to touch Israel. God, supply every need that Israel has. Lord, protect it. Surround it with a hedge of protection to keep it from the enemy. Lord, we just thank you for our first fighters, our first responders, our policemen, our firefighters. I just thank you this morning for all of those people. Touch them, keep them, help them in their job that they do every day in their service for you and their servants to others. Lord, bless them, lead them, and guide them safely back home. Thank you for, if I didn't say, thank you for our police fighters, policemen. I thank you for our policemen that keep order in our country. Lord, bless them, direct them, guide them, keep them alert and keep them sound, and help them to make the right decisions on every call that they go on. In the holy name of Jesus, God, I ask you to do that. Unite us together as one in this country, all over this universe. Help us to love one another, because you said, Father, in your word, that we would love one another and we would know each other by the love we have for one another. Tells us who we truly belong to. God bless our leaders all over this world, whether it's locally here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, or it's all over the United States or all over this great universe. God, you are the one who has placed them in the offices that they are in. Use them mightily for your glory. Protect them from themselves. Protect them from others. Protect their families. But God, let you be the one to be exalted through their ministry in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you for this word that is so powerful. Thank you, God, that we will stay in the game and we will win this race in Jesus' precious holy name. And everybody out there says this morning, amen and amen. The message title today is Staying in the Game to Win. Are you going for the goal, my friend? Are you reaching for the stars? Well, the sky is the limit. With God, all things are possible. I just want you to know that this morning. The game can get rough sometimes, but don't you dare give up. Your miracle, your prize, your reward is just ahead. Finish your game. Your rewards will be great. The Super Bowl prizes are nothing compared to eternal life, my friends. So look up, because your redemption draws nigh. My scripture is coming from Philippians 3, 12 through 21 today. You know, students of the New Testament agree that Paul must have been a sports fan. Well, over and over again, many times in many places, he uses illustrations from sports to make his point. He speaks of wrestling and boxing, running, winning the race, winning the prize, and winning crowns. Well, Paul talks about the discipline necessary to win, the danger of being disqualified, and I don't know if he himself played any sports, but it's clear that he was fully acquainted with the athletic world in the society that we live in today. When he wanted to sum up his life in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The first phrase comes from boxing. The second from running the race in life and staying in the game to win. Now, as I thought about it, it occurred to me that Paul probably would have enjoyed all college football championships, even the Super Bowl game, which we know that that's tomorrow. And I know that I'm going to enjoy it with my family, and I'm sure that you are. Well, I know that they didn't have football back then, but I still think he would have enjoyed watching Miami or UCLA or Tennessee or perhaps Mississippi State or Dallas. And the list goes on. And I think some, if not all, of these games would have kept him on the edge of his seat. Now, I didn't watch all of those games, but I did hear my husband speak about them. Now, I mentioned that to raise a familiar point, which is football has a lot of answers to things. Those who have heard me preach over the past 5.5 years on Blog Talk Radio know that I return again and again to athletics, and generally because football is particular, I like to illustrate important spiritual truths. After all, football teaches such valuable traits as discipline. It teaches training and perseverance, teamwork, the value of high goals, and learning how to keep victory and defeat in proper defeat in total proper perspective. Now, as coaches like to say, football is a game of four quarters. It is not to start well or to lead at the half. You've got to lead at the end of the game if you want to win. Now, in many ways, the Christian life is like that. It's not enough to start with a big bang. You also got to end well. In other words, the way you start is not as important as the way that you finish. Too many people, my friend, enter the Christian life with great enthusiasm only to disappear into mediocrity along the way. So many lack purpose in life. Now, they are like the man who jumped on the horse and rode off in many directions. We have too many amateur Christians who are a mile wide and only an inch deep. Following Jesus Christ is not a hobby. Like collecting stamps or coins, it demands a total commitment of your life. Did someone hear me out there? Christianity, a relationship with Christ, it demands a total commitment in your life. And in our text, Paul shares four principles for winning the prize when the game of life is over. Now, the first principle is check your direction. Philippians 4:12-14 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. My precious friends, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it all. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and moving forward to what is ahead. Now I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me to heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now it tells us in Philippians 3:12-14 that if this text does nothing else, it should put an end to all dreams of sinless perfection in this life. Paul begins with an honest admission. I'm not there yet. Unlike so many contemporary leaders, he has no problem admitting his own personal shortcomings. You see, we have to admit those so that we can move forward, so that we can overcome those things. He isn't perfect, yet he knows it. And this becomes the place where his spiritual growth begins. When you can admit your shortcomings, that's where you will begin to overcome them, and your growth will totally begin. Twice Paul says, I press on, meaning I am not where I want to be, but I'm going to keep moving in that direction. In the spiritual life, direction makes all the difference, my friends. As true believers, we aim our goals upward, keeping our steps in God's direction. In Paul's case, that involves both a sanctified forgetting and a resolute pushing forward. Note the serious concentration implicit in his words. One thing I do. Here is a secret that applies across the board. To excel in all areas of life, a person must say, this one thing I do, not these 20 things I do. Single-minded focus in any endeavor generally wins a great reward. A great artist must say, one thing I do. And a great gifted teacher must say, one thing I do. And of course, a championship athlete must say, one thing I do. And a single parent raising a child or children must say, one thing I do. A student who wants to graduate with honors must say, one thing I do. Means you have direction and you're applying that direction by application to your life. Such forms of wisdom. One thing I do. Those are powerful winning words. Great victorious words. Greatness is in any arena that comes to those who can say with the Apostle Paul, one thing I do. In case it meant looking to the heavenly goal of winning the prize, that phrase covers all that God has for us when we finally stand before Jesus Christ and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Can anyone listening this morning say, Reverend Sherry, that's me? Well, praise God if you can say that. His presence this morning is a winning spirit. I read an article recently of 122 years ago, a young man from a wealthy family entered Yale University. Now, his family intended that after completing his degree, he would enter a suitable career in America. But God gripped his heart with the needs of China, and he volunteered to go to that country and take the gospel. Much to the amaze of his family and friends, he left America but never made it to China, succumbing to a disease before he reached that distant shore. After his death, a note was found in his effects that summarized his life. This note said, no reverse, no retreat, and no regrets. I wonder how many of us can say the same thing this morning. No reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. Perhaps you have heard of Dr. David Livingstone, pioneer medical missionary to Africa. When he returned to Great Britain, he was asked, where do you want to go now? His answer was immediately, I am ready to go anywhere provided it be forward. Many of you this morning may feel that you want to give up. Don't do it. Keep moving forward. Remember, God is on your side. You're not alone. God is with you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. You just need to learn to call out to him and say, Father, I need you. I can't do this alone. I know that you sent me a helper. Please help me. Then God is faithful and just, and he will do exactly that. Now, do you want to win the race set before you today? First, check your direction. Make sure you are moving in God's direction. Everyone goes somewhere in life. Where will you be when you get where you are going? What's your destiny goal? Keep aiming, my friends, for the mark of God's calling on your life. God will finish what he started in you. Believe it, and you'll reach your goals in life and your eternal life goal as well. Now, here's principle two. Follow faithful leaders, found in Philippians 4:15-17. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example. My friends, take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you found in Philippians 3:15-17. Now, note how Paul puts in this verse 17, follow my example. That seems like an astounding thing to say, right? If you want to learn how to pray, follow me. If you want to become a faithful evangelist, follow me. Now, if you want to study the Bible, follow me. If you want to see compassion in action, follow me. And if you want to know God better, follow me. Who among us would dare to utter such statements? Yet six different times in the New Testament, Paul says, follow me. Failure is not the end. Pick yourself up, my friend. Brush yourself off and get back in that race. Don't you dare give up this morning. You're on the brink of a miracle, and you're on the brink of something great just ahead. What was he talking about? An egotistical beggar? Did he think he was a perfect Christian? Not at all. In verse 12, Paul was clearly saying that he has not yet arrived in spiritual completion. Well, then how could Paul say, follow me? Well, then how could Paul say that? What he meant was, follow me as I follow Christ. Think of the Christian life as a long parade from earth to heaven. At the head of the line is Jesus Christ. Now, the captain of our salvation, step by step, he is leading his followers to glory. It's a long road with many twists and turns, but he is fully committed to seeing that we make it in the end. Now, since the parade is so long and filled with millions of people, we need folks in front of us who can keep us on track. We need mentors, models, heroes, if you will, my friends. People who are further along in the spiritual journey who can keep us pointed toward the Lord. Without such input, we're likely to veer off the trail and end up in the wilderness. And we don't want to do that. We need direction. The wisdom of a seasoned Christian, meaning those who are mature in the relationship with God. Let me ask two questions. Number one, who are you following? Who is up ahead of you showing the way? Now, pointing out the rough places in the road and making sure you don't make a wrong turn. We all need people like that in our lives. None of us ever reaches a point where we can say, I can do this on my own. Even though I've been a Christian for 44 years, my friends, I find that now as much as ever, I need the encouragement of being around people who pray better than I do, who witness more than I do, and who have deeper knowledge of God's word. I need their examples, their encouragement, and the challenge they provide to my life. You travel in leader circles, and you will find yourself becoming mature in Christ, and you will become a seasoned Christian. This touches a very practical point. Would you like to learn to pray? It's not hard. Just hang out with people who pray. Would you like to grow in joy? Just spend time with people full of joy. Do you wish to be around people that are positive? Then hang around people that are positive and not negative. Do you wish you had a heart for the Word? Then hang around with people that are full of the Word of God. Spend time with missionaries and watch your heart change little by little because they have vision. And we need to have a vision. Without a vision, we'll perish. Are you struggling with temptation? Find someone who has fought and won the same battle that you're in. Would you like to develop a gift of teaching? Great. Sit at the feet of gifted teachers and learn from them. Follow faithful leaders, and soon enough, my friends, their godly example will make you a better Christian. Now, I can share this with you because that's what I have been doing for 44 years, and that's why I'm teaching on Blog Talk Radio. I followed godly direction and wisdom and placed myself in the presence of godly leadership, soaking up the Word of God like a sponge. And two, who is following you? Think again about the image of a great parade. Jesus stands at the front, followed by a vast throng. You strain to catch a better glimpse of the Lord, but it's hard to see him through the crush of people. Now, when you have a crowd of people, sometimes it can be hard to get through, right? But don't give up. Keep pressing forward to the mark of God's calling. So you simply begin to follow the crowd in front of you, my friends, as long as they are following Jesus. You are following him through their good example. Now look behind you. Do you see all the faces peering in your direction? They are following you, and you didn't realize it. As long as you follow those who follow Christ, you will be following him too, and so will those who follow you. You can be the one who leads others to Christ, who makes a great difference. Right now, someone is following you. Someone looks to you to show them the way. and someone prays because they have heard you praying such great and serious and sincere prayers. Someone is watching you fight the personal battles and win. You're living by example. They want to live the way you live because they see Jesus in you. Someone wants to be like you because they see Christ all over your countenance. Someone is cheering you on. Someone sees Christ in your life. Someone admires your strength because they know it's not your own strength. They know that your strength comes from God. Someone is barring your faith because they have none. You're leading by example, my friends, and you're tearing down the kingdom of darkness, and you are building up God's kingdom. Someone believes you are the best Christian they've ever seen. Why? Not because of you, not because of them, but because of Christ that lives in you, that lives in them. Someone is hanging tough because you are standing very tall in Christ. And someone is smiling when they think of you. You're their ray of sunshine because they see Jesus in you. Jesus shines brightly through your living. Not so much what you say, but it's how you live, my friends. Someone thanks God for your friendship because your light shines on their darkness, convicts them to repentance, and they have hope and know there is a better tomorrow through Christ. Someone cares that you make the right choices. They find direction in your right decisions. Someone is following you because you lead the way to God. You see, that's what it's all about, my friend. It's leading and pointing back to the Creator. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It is about God, because without God, we can do nothing. Apart from God, we are nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Woo! Somebody out there said, praise be to his name. God is simply saying to someone out there who is listening with their spiritual heart, keep on the path. Keep your eyes on the prize. Find some good examples and follow them. And don't forget that someone is following you as you follow others who are following Jesus Christ. Don't let that someone down, my friends. And principle 3, know your enemies. Philippians 3:18-19. For as I have often told you before and now, say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Here is the flip side of the previous principle. Now, we must follow faithful leaders, and we must watch out for our enemies. Who are these enemies of the cross? Hold on. I'm about to tell you. I doubt if Paul would use such harsh language to describe people outside the church. But I believe that he was talking about professing Christians who are really wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm sorry that I have to be the one to say that. But like I said, you know what? I want to be transparent before you. I want to be truthful and honest before you because God only works in truth. He only works in honesty. He cannot work in sugar-coated words. He cannot work in lies. He cannot work in deception. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Now, although these people attend our churches and worship with us on Sunday mornings, they are not one of us. Here's the tricky part. They are not out there. They are in the church, in the family of God. You know, the Bible does say that the tares grow alongside the wheat, my friends. Let's don't forget it. So how can you spot these people? How can you know the difference? You can know the difference. It's not what a person says. It's how they live. Don't ever forget that. You can say great things with your lips and do another thing with your actions. Now, these people claim to be Christians, Their lives betray them. They live for self-gratification. These are the signs that I'm trying to give you, so you will know the difference between a real saint of God and someone who is an imposter. They live for self-gratification, lust, gluttony, greed, sexual immorality, anger, drunkenness, and all other sins of the flesh. They brag about their sins. Their glory is their shame. They drag others down with them. They will destroy you if you allow them to. Their actions tell the true story of who they are. And it has nothing to do with Christ. You see, you can come to church every Sunday, sit in the church. And Monday is a different story. You go out doing your own thing, doing whatever you please. Come back to church on the next Sunday, and nothing changes. Because you have to, it has to be more than mental assent, my friends. It has to be a divine revelation that drops from this head of ours to our heart and causes us to change, causes us to become like Christ, causes us to love one another, causes our actions to be godly actions and full of wisdom and full of God's scriptures. We must have a broken and contrite spirit before God. That's when he will use us mightily. And that's when we'll see changes in our life. And that's when we will go from level to level, to glory to glory. You see, people who really aren't serious with God and just play in church, they are like a chameleon. They change colors to fit in with their surroundings, to fit in with the crowd. They're not real. They're an imposter. They are going to hell, sadly to say. That hurts my heart when I have to say that. Don't go with them, my friends. Please don't go with them. I know hell is a strong word, but only truth leads us out of deception. And these people are living a lie, and they are living in deception. Let me say it this way. Not every relationship is good for you. Some people hearing my message are aware of relationships in your life that are pulling you away from Christ. It may be a romantic relationship. It may be a friendship at school or a friend, that at your job or with a neighbor or perhaps a passing or casual acquaintance or someone you met at a social gathering or on a trip. God's point is so clear. If a relationship is pulling you away from Jesus Christ, you must break it off. Period. No ifs, no ands, or no buts. But break it off and do it now. Don't procrastinate. Don't put away the things that you can do now, today, because you're not promised tomorrow, my friends. Do it now. Stop making excuses. Continuing sin and deception, believing a lie, your conscience can become seared. God will eventually draw the line. And when you want to turn, when you want to turn around, when you don't want to turn around, he will turn you over to a reprobate mind and allow you to believe whatever lies you want to believe. Then hell, my friends, will become your destiny. That is so sad. But it is the truth, and it breaks my heart. I can't tell you who needs to hear these words, but I do know that someone does. Know your enemies. Mark them. Avoid them. There's no other way to win the prize. There's no other way to stay in the game to win until you know whose you are. Then you will know who you are. You see what I'm saying? You have to know who you are before you can know who you are. Principle number 4, remember your true identity in Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bears the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. We'll transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. When we finally recognize the brokenness on the inside of us and we depend on God's mercies and grace and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will find our true identity. Now, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Verses 20 begins with a huge contrast here. Now, the enemies of the cross live for earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Those words would have had special meaning to the Philippians since they were granted Roman citizenship, even though they were 800 miles from the imperial capital. Now, they lived in Philippi, but their citizenship was in Rome. In a similar way, we live on earth, but our hearts are in heaven. As the song says, the world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere else beyond the blue. What a beautiful song, but a truth in that song. If you do any overseas traveling, which I've done, I've been to Guam, I've been to Scotland, I've been to other areas, you know that a passport is required for entry into most countries. For instance, when you travel to Scotland, you have to take your passport wherever you go. That way you can prove you are a citizen of another country. Paul is saying that Christians have been issued a spiritual passport from the commonwealth of heaven. Then he lists two evidences of that heavenly citizenship. First, we're eager for Jesus to return to the earth. The phrase eagerly await has the idea of a child standing on tippy toes waiting for his dad to come home after a day of work. Secondly, we're expecting a glorious transformation of our earthly bodies. Now, the word transform comes from a Greek word that is the root of our English word systematic, meaning a drawing or diagram of the inner working of a device. What do we know about physical bodies, my friend? We know they are made from the earth. That is from the dust. And secondly, we know that they are constantly wearing out. Thirdly, we know that our bodies will eventually return to the earth from whence they came. The ashes to ashes and dust to dust. That's why the King James Version uses this phrase, out of our bodies, an expression that becomes more appropriate as we grow old and nothing seems to be working anymore. Now, Philippians 3 ends with a ringing declaration that one day, God is going to reconnect our earthly bodies. They will be raised from the dead and re-engineered to be like this, like his glorious body. Now, in the words of one commentator, we will be raised and beautified. Woo! Hallelujah! Now, I like the sound of that. How about you? I want to be raised and identified to be beautified. Oh, hallelujah. And he will do it by the same power that enables him to run the entire universe. Well, thank you, Jesus. Think of that, my friends. No more glasses, no more crutches, no more walkers, no more ICUs, no more AIDS, no more cancer, no more strokes, no more false teeth, no more diabetes, no more Alzheimer's, no more kidney failure or heart disease. Period. No more nursing homes, no more hospitals, no more death. Woo! Hallelujah! I look forward to that day, don't you? I know so many people that are so sickly, and it hurts my heart. But one day, if they're born again Christians, they have a lot to look forward to, a lot to look forward to, a new body, a healthy body that will never be sick anymore, that will never cry, never have any pain, and we will never feel stressed anymore. That is something to look forward to. Now, keep your fart. I know you don't understand what I just said, but hold on. I'm about to tell you, my friend. A few days ago, a friend sent me something by an email, in a very touching way, it illustrated the final truth of what my text is all about. So hold on. A woman who had been diagnosed with cancer was given 3 months to live, is what my friend sent me in this email. Her doctor told her to start making preparations to die, something we all should do, to be prepared. That's what this message is about, to be prepared. We don't know when our time is up. We don't know what holds tomorrow. We do not know. That's why God says, live like there is no tomorrow. Be prepared. Be ready. Salvation is today. So see, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her funeral wishes. Now, she told him which songs that she wanted to sing at that service, what scriptures she wanted to be read, and what she wanted to be wearing. The woman also told her pastor that she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the woman suddenly remembered something very important she didn't tell him, and she certainly didn't want to leave that out because it was very important to her. There's one more thing, she says. She said, excitedly, too. What's that? The pastor said. This is very important to me. The woman continued, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. The pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. She said to the pastor, that shocks you, doesn't it? Well, to be honest, he said, it does. I'm puzzled by that request. But the woman said in all her years of attending church socials and functions, when food was involved, and let's be honest, food is an important part of any Christian event, special, spiritual or otherwise, her favorite part was whoever was clearing away the dishes of the main course would always lean over her and say, keep your fork. It was her favorite part because she knew that something better was coming. When they told her to keep her fork, she said she knew that something great was about to be given to her. It wasn't Jell-O, and it wasn't pudding. It was cake or pie, something with substance. So she just wanted people to see her there in that casket with a fork in her right hand, and she wanted them to wonder, what with the fork? So then she wanted the pastor to tell them, something better is coming, so keep your fork. She was speaking of heaven, her eternal life, her journey forever, where she would end up with the Father. The pastor's eyes were welled up with tears and joy as he hugged the woman goodbye. But he knew this would be one of the last times that he would see her before her death. But he also knew that the woman had a better grasp on heaven than he did. She knew something better was coming. How many out there of you today know something is better coming? Something is just ahead of us when this earthly journey is over for each of us, and we stand before a just and holy God. Something is better for us if we know him as personal Savior and Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! That is worth shouting about. Now, at the funeral, people were walking by this woman's casket, and they saw this pretty dress that she was wearing and her favorite Bible in the casket with her, the fork placed in her right hand. Over and over, the pastor heard questions, what's with the fork? What's with the fork? And over, he smiled. During his message, the pastor told the people of the conversation that he had with this woman shortly before she died. He also told them about the fork and what it symbolized to her. The pastor told the people how he could not stop thinking about the fork and that they probably would not be able to stop thinking about it either. Now, he was right. So the next time you reach down for your fork Let it be a reminder to you there is something better coming. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you have repented of your sins and invited Jesus into your heart and life as Lord and Savior, then there is something better coming. Go for the goal, my friends. You can win the prize if you will. Go for the goal and keep on winning, running the race, getting in the game. Always check your direction. Always follow faithful leaders. Know your enemies and stay away from them, but pray for them. Remember your true identity. If you know who you are, then you will know who your true identity is, my friends. I love you so much this morning, so much that I will only tell you the truth and nothing but the truth, because we know that the truth sets the captive free. It turns the Christian that is carnal around. It turns the backslider back to the truth and repentance. It turns the plus to the truth and to repentance. If that's you this morning, all you have to do is pray the sinner's prayer with me, because God is giving someone an open invitation, a lost person to come to him and to know him, a cardinal person who's been playing church, a backslider, he's gotten off the track. He's given each one of you an open invitation to make things right with him this morning. For those backsliders and cardinal people, all you have to do is just repent. For those who are lost, all you have to do is be godly, serious in your heart, and repent. If that's you this morning, and that's what you want to do, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you realize that you are undone, you are lost, then please pray the sinner's prayer with me. Repeat after me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I know that I am lost and undone without a Savior. I repent of my sins. Please wash me and make me as white as snow. Set me back on the journey towards heaven. Help me to do everything you created me to do. Stir up the gifts on the inside of me. Help me to know who I belong to. Then I know, I will know who I truly am. Thank you, God, for saving me this morning. Thank you for setting my feet on solid ground and pointing me toward an eternal destination called heaven. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for hearing and honoring my prayer. Amen and amen. And if you said that prayer with me this morning, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God, because you are a new creation. And if you were a cardinal Christian just playing church or a backslider and you repented, praise be to God. God is setting you back in the right track, and you will really know who you truly are. You have a journey ahead of you, a wonderful journey ahead of you. Doesn't mean you won't find bumps in the road. Doesn't mean you won't take the wrong turn sometimes, but you have God to get you back on track and turn you toward heaven every day if you'll just depend on him. Thank you so much for listening to the message. Always remember, God loves you. He's for you and never against you. His favor surrounds you. Victory can be yours today if you stay in the game to win. Stay in the game. Win. Don't give up. Happy Super Bowl tomorrow. Enjoy the game with your family. God bless until we meet again.